You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful night, and thank you so much for tuning in and supporting all that we're doing here on the podcast. It's been amazing. You guys have been amazing out there checking us out and subscribing and downloading, and it's just a real pleasure. Of course, I'm your host, Brent Thomas. This is the Paranormal Portal podcast, and once again, special thanks to Revolver Podcast for making all this possible. Love talking about cryptids because it's a subject that I think is absolutely fascinating. Like, I have no question that there are ghosts and spirits. I've had tons of different experiences throughout my life to validate that. But the cryptids are, outside of one experience when I was much younger, I don't think I've had any other cryptid experiences, and I've had UFO experiences and more recently. So cryptids is one that will always hold a real dear place in my heart, because to me, what that demonstrates really is much more than any of the others in my mind. Because, okay, here's the thing with ghosts. It deals with the survival of a spirit and perhaps some other things that exist on an energetic level. So that's a form of life that first of all, it demonstrates the continuation of life, which I think is very powerful and important. But it's also these other forms that were never human. These are other forms of life that exist out there and demonstrate that we have a lot to learn. And then you look at UFOs and you look at the stars, and it's like, well, yeah, there's got to be other things up there. There's got to be more going on here than just one planet on the edge of a galaxy. You know, there's got to be more. So that just to me is one of those derps, you know. Yeah, of course there's intelligent beings out there, and I firmly believe that they come here and they visit and have visited and have been probably instrumental in our journey through our, you know, development, whatever that may mean. But cryptids to me demonstrates the world that we walk on and our three dimensions that exists all the time. And yet it shows that all of our hubris is still mistaken, that we don't have this all figured out. Now, there is the argument, are cryptids perhaps multidimensional, interdimensional beings? Perhaps they are, and I can't answer to that. But at the very least, we know that they live at least part of the time in our dimension, if they are multidimensional, and perhaps all of the time they're here. And that, to me, shows that there's a whole extensive catalog of things that are existing in our realm of experience and existence that we don't understand. So it still, to me, demonstrates that there's still a journey of discovery that needs to continue. That, you know, our sciences kind of rest on their laurels now, like, well, we got that all nailed, you know? And we really can't do that, because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people every year that are encountering things that should not exist according to our established sciences. There are thousands and thousands of people every year that are coming face to face with beings that aren't supposed to exist according to that very same science. So to me, it demonstrates that there's still a lot of discovery needed in this world of ours. We don't have it nailed. We don't have it figured out. Now, not to disparage the sciences, they've done amazing things, absolutely miraculous things have been completed and mapped and discovered and cataloged, and our body of knowledge continues to grow. But what I think is the biggest hindrance to that is our own arrogance, because we figure we've got it all dialed in now, and clearly we don't. So that's one of the reasons I really love the cryptid discussion, is because it shows beyond a doubt there is something more here. There is something more going on here. And so that's a big part of my excitement of it. And plus, I haven't had many of these encounters. And, you know, not that I want them. To be honest, I'm not sure that I want a lot of encounters with these other strange creatures that we don't really understand, because we really don't understand them. I don't know if I meet these things again, in the case of that I think I met a Bigfoot, but I never turned around to see. But if I meet another one, am I possibly on the menu? Am I possibly a part of its food chain? Because obviously we're not the pinnacle of the food chain anymore, when there's huge, huge, huge things that wander around and are believed to be omnivorous and maybe having a tough year. Well, there's not any easier prey in the world, in my opinion, than a human being. We are the easiest prey in the entire world, in the natural kingdom, because we're slow, we're not incredibly strong for our size, we are not incredibly agile, quick, lithe, we don't swim well, we are really on the you know, just this side of turtle, I think, as far as physical prowess, you know, in the natural world. So I hope we're not on the menu. I hope that with the abilities or with the idea that these things are a form of people, maybe they also have that higher intelligence that we believe they do, and they can recognize that we have higher intelligence, and we go, well, I'm not going to eat those guys. You know, they just seem to be a little too advanced to be, you know, a hot pocket. So, so we hope that that's the case anyway. But I still find it incredibly interesting to discuss the cryptids, and I think that there's so much we need to learn. So that's kind of my front end of all of this. And I, you know, I don't know what you guys think. Maybe you agree with that. Maybe you don't. And, you know, there are those people that, you know, the paranormal is really a funny field, because people will believe that there are these incredibly intelligent, you know, almost super beings that travel amongst the stars and come here. And they can believe that. They have no problem believing that. Or there are people that believe there are spirits, and they have no problem believing that. That, you know, the dead can continue to linger and to appear. There are angels, there are demons, there are shadow people, non-human entities, ethereals, what is the other word? Elementals, and so on and so forth. And then there are the people that believe there are big, hairy beings walking around in the wilds of the earth, and other smaller-sized beings walking around the wilds of the earth. And sometimes, in many cases, those people stick to their subject. They can believe this, but they can't believe those other two. Or, you know, they believe this, but not the other two. And or maybe they believe this and this, but this is ridiculous. So that surprises me, because if you can acknowledge one thing is going on that defies explanation, then you can't discount the other things, in my opinion. It doesn't mean you're going to go out and research it or be enthusiastic about it, but I think it's important to have an open mind, because if you have an open mind for one thing, then you kind of by default have to have an open mind that many other things could be possible too. It's not just there's one thing left to figure out and then we got it all figured out. There's a lot to figure out through that trifecta, if you will. And there's, you know, there's many other branches of the paranormal, such as dimension slips, time slips, time anomalies, time travel, the Mandela effects, you know, et cetera, psychic phenomena and other enhanced phenomena that we may or may not be possible or have the potential to do. So the paranormal is just this wide open field, but I think it's important to keep an open mind for all of it. But I'm not here to preach. I'm not here to tell you what you need to believe or not to believe. But I just think it's important to you know, to keep an open mind. So I wanted to get into some more of the stories tonight on the bedtime stories, because I really like talking about this. This is and again, it's been a nice break from doing so many ghost shows in a row. I didn't mean to close that, did I? I didn't. No. Okay, we're good. So we're going to get into some of these and see what we can find. Just see what we can get into. Oh, this is one. Now, this is a really creepy story. This is a really much, much lesser known type of cryptid, but it is really, really believed to be in Central and South America. As far as that's the only places I've really come across it being reported. But I want to read you the story, and this comes from some people that were in the Dominican Republic. And it has to do with an extraordinarily large arachnid, meaning a spider, if you're not familiar with that term. But yeah, it means a spider. Now, there are some people reporting these like dog-sized spiders running around through the jungles of South America and Central America. Is it possible? Well, I don't know. I don't know if spiders' growth is determinant or indeterminate. Like snakes and alligators and crocs and stuff, their growth is pretty much indeterminate. They can grow up to the point where they can't acquire enough food, and then they will stop growing because they've developed for their environment. But I don't know if that's the case for arachnids as well, and it may or may not be, or it may... I'm suspecting it's not. So it sounds like there's some undiscovered big, huge spiders out there. And it's a freaky idea. It's really a freaky idea. It's like right out of Harry Potter, you know, or Lord of the Rings. And the idea of that is just, to me, really unsettling. But let me read you this story and see what you guys think. And so this one is, we don't know what we saw. It's really small font, so you have to excuse me. I got to lean in for this one. We don't know what we saw. We were in the Dominican Republic, staying at a locally owned hotel. It was a nice hotel, but nothing luxurious, and really very open-air sort of place. We'd gone out for dinner, enjoyed a bottle of wine, but we weren't drunk or anything. And I'm reading in bed, and my husband comes out of the bathroom, completely white-faced, in shock. There's a spider in the bathroom. Well, I look at him and laugh. Spiders in Dominican Republic are big, but nothing to really freak over. And he looked like he has seen Satan himself by the expression, so I go to the bathroom. All I see are four thick, hairy orange and black legs coming out from out of by the sink basin. They were at least 10 inches long, and at least as thick as pencils. Very hairy. From about 5 feet away, I could see the separate orange and black hairs. I'm short, so I couldn't see the whole thing over the sink from the distance and I was at, and there was a towel blocking direct view plus the sink basin. But just by the legs I saw, I knew I was looking at an almost 2-foot-long spider. I calmly walk back to my husband. And did you see it? Did you see it? I nod, and we leave the room to get help from the front desk. Our broken Spanish had the staffers in hysterical laughter, not to mention that they took us as overreacting tourists scared of a little spider. One staffer, Jose, came back to look, and it is gone. Jose tells us that he has at least three in his home, which is when I realize that these people either don't believe me or don't understand what I'm saying. I've lived in a tropical climates before. There's no way in hell you'd share a home with the spider we saw. A day later, we have the normal spider infestation. And I go to the desk and ask for bug spray, and the staffers are all still having a laugh at our expense. But the same guy, Jose, comes up with me with the spray, and we're cleaning out the spiders, which are about 5 inches or so, daddy long leg types. And he's surprised that I'm suddenly not scared by these spiders. And he asks why, and I inform him that these spiders aren't what we saw the other night. And I use my hands to show him the size of what we saw. His mouth dropped. I've never heard of anything like that in my entire life in the Dominican Republic, but who knows what comes out of the jungle. It wasn't until a little while later that my husband, while discussing Harry, our pet name for this spider, realized that I had only seen half of it. My estimate of 10-inch leg plus 10-inch leg for a total of about 20 inches, 2 feet, was severely off. He saw the whole body, and the body minus the legs was as wide as his entire hand, a grown man's hand, so it likely was way bigger than a 2-foot diameter. He also said that there were multiple big black eyes. And I've since gone on numerous arachnid websites and have even contacted arachnologists to try to identify what we saw. Most came back suggesting a Mexican spider. The spider that was recommended to us was the Mexican red knee spider. The colors are right, as is the texture of the fur, but I mean, there's no way that what we saw could fit in a man's hand. That might have somehow have gotten to the Dominican Republic in someone's luggage, but that spider is not what we saw. What we saw was basically a Spinosaurus rex. The only way I can describe it was not unlike a furry snow crab. It says, there's a note at the bottom, says there's several accounts of large aggressive spiders in the Dominican Republic. The video below, well, there's a video that shows some of those, but yeah, a 2-foot-plus spider is a huge, huge, huge spider. Now, the Goliath spider, the bird-eating spider that's known to be down there, is about the size of a dinner plate. So, you know, 10, 12 inches, you know, in the leg span and body. So it's a really, really robust and big spider, but that's not 2 feet. I mean, that's quite a difference. You know, between a dinner plate size and 2 feet is an incredibly different kind of spider. The Goliath spider really does look like a tarantula. It just looks like a really large tarantula. But what they're describing here sounds like more of a traditional long spindly-legged spider. So, really creepy. I don't know, but you'd have to believe, if something that size bit you, that, you know, that's not far removed from us as far as... So I'm sure that kind of a spider bite could kill you. That's just the stuff right out of science fiction. And I run across stories like that, and I do keep an open mind because I think, well, it could be possible, but I hope to God it's not. I hope to God this is a work of fiction. This is one of those that I don't want it to be right. You know, I don't want that to be out there. You know, and then you hear about, like, prehistoric insects. There was apparently a centipede that was literally, like, 3 feet long and several inches wide. So it was a big centipede. And the big centipedes that exist in the world today can kill people. I mean, their bites are very venomous. So, you know, you have to imagine a big centipede. And so is it possible that there are large, really, really large insects out there? I guess so. I don't know what to think of that, though. That's totally unnerving. So if you have an issue with spiders, that story might really creep you out. I personally love spiders. I really do. I've always tried to be really cool about their nests and stuff and, you know, let them out gently like the caller last night. You know, I have always tried to do that because I think that that's important. It was, I think Duck Sauce was saying it the other night about, you know, going out of his way to be gentle and stuff. Well, I've always done that. My mom taught me that. The only thing that I will aggressively go after is mosquitoes and any other thing that's going to bite me and make me itch, like fleas and mosquitoes. Forget about it. It's game on. But that's a different kind of battlefront. Spiders generally will take care of the stuff that I don't like so that, you know, I like them around. But I don't like clearing cobwebs out of my house all the time. But if I had something this big, I don't know. You know, I realize it's a fear response, but I think I'd start by killing it. Because you just can't, you can't be wrong with something that big. You can't be like, okay, let's get you outside, little bugger. No, I will tell you guys, I did kind of see a Goliath insect once back in Minnesota. Now, I'll tell you the story. It's something that I guess I'll have to look for the pictures. I know I have pictures somewhere of it, but it was my middle son was absolutely freaked out by bugs. He was always freaked out by bugs, and he would have absolute fits, you know, when he was younger. And, you know, I was a single parent at the time, and he'd be like, oh, there's a bug, you know, and he'd freak out anytime any bug flew by him. It could be a house fly, could be anything. Well, I was sitting on my computer, and one day he came up to me, and he's standing alongside of me, and I mean, he's just a little guy, probably about, you know, 6 years old or 7 years old, maybe eight, but he says, oh, my God, Dad. There's a big bug in the window. And I'm like, yeah, there's a big bug in the window. And I'm working on it. He's like, Dad, that's really big. That's really big. And he starts like really freaking. And so I'm like, okay. All right. So I turn and they're like, oh my God, that's a big bug. And no kidding. It was huge. This was okay. So it looked like a cross between a housefly and a bumblebee. It's something I've never seen. I've never actually gone and had it checked out as far as sending the pictures into an entomologist or something like that to identify it. But it was, no kidding, it was almost the size of a golf ball. It was really big, like this big. And it had like bee wings, but it had a fly's head. So like bees have these real streamlined eyes that really fit their heads. This had big bulbous eyes on the side. Those compound eyes were on the side, and it was really big and bulbous. It had a dark gray body, so it was really hard. You know, I mean, if it was outside on a tree or something, I might have passed them all my life and never seen them. But a lot of hardwood trees in the forest there in southern Minnesota. But it was huge. I mean, it was literally the size of a golf ball. And I, you know, I had spiders in the house and stuff. And you know those big house flies, those ones that. They get really good sized. I mean, and they have like those really colorful bodies. They have like shiny metallic colors to them, and they're huge. Well, this fly bee or whatever the hell it was huge, and it had gotten into spider webs through around the window, and it was dragging a chain of those big house flies that were already dead from the spider web. But what caught them? It was just dragging them along like it was a newlyweds car full, you know, with the cans dragging behind it. That's what it looked like. It was just like he was so big that they were just like, you know, if you imagine a person with a chihuahua, that's like the size difference between those big flies and that huge thing, whatever the hell it was. So I you know, I didn't kill it. I did, you know, it didn't do anything aggressive. It was just bouncing off the window like that. It was like, it sounded like a hummingbird, for God's sakes. So I grabbed a big cup in the envelope and I got it trapped and I took it outside and I'm like, you know, I opened it up and let it out and it was like, and flew away. And I was thinking, you know, should I release that? But I assume it came from there. So, somewhere in those woods, but it was really creepy, really creepy. But that was a really oversized insect that I've never seen. I lived my whole life down there, you know, for a large portion of, well, pretty much 98% of my life, I lived in that area and never saw anything like that. So I guess it is possible that they are around, these supersized insects, but you know, and that wasn't like monstrously huge, but it was monstrously huge for a fly, bee thing, whatever the hell it was. So It was freaky. But I do have pictures. When I find the pictures, I will show you guys those pictures. So, and you can see it dragging the chain of the dead huge house flies behind it. It's like, oh my God. Eesh. But I'll have to find those. Anyway, I saw an elephant fly. What the hell is an elephant fly? I don't know what that is. Oh, is this a Dumbo thing? Is that a Dumbo remark, Cha-Cha? That's not funny. That's not funny. Don't make fun of me. So, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, well, that's a bigger fly than what I saw. But the one I saw was big enough. But I did have to laugh because, you know, I immediately dismissed my kid's freak out because it was like the same freak out he'd have if a house fly flew by him. And so I'd been years dealing with that. And so it's like, yeah, okay. All right. And I was like, oh my God, that's a big fly. So, so it was a true story. True story, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Here's a short one. And this one is apparently coming out of Hawaii. So let's see what this one says. It says, here in Hawaii, one of my friends said he walked into his room one night and saw a giant bat with a human face attached to the outside of his window, which is about 50 feet off the ground. And I asked my friend if his mom was pregnant at the time, and he said yes. Reason I asked is because Manananggal are said to prey on the fetus of pregnant women. Oh my God. Wow. So that's a case where apparently something stepped right out of legend and appeared on this guy's window. It's spelled Mananangal. Mananangal. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it's pronounced. But apparently that's a bat with a human face. And that's that's something I don't ever need to see. Here's another one. It's, again, most of these are pretty short. This one sounds really good. Let's see what this one is. Well, what I saw were small creatures. It talks about imps invading a home. What I saw were small creatures that infested mine and my family's home. I've seen, learned that these things are called imps. It says, I've seen, learned that these things are called imps. They're about 2 feet tall and very fast and showed up in the autumn of our home, and it has been my husband's house prior to my own, and he had seen them prior to my seeing them. Our daughter was about 4 when we moved out, and later in her life, she's now 21, she could describe their faces in detail. Having been small herself, she had a clearer view of them. My daughter said that it was menacing. It had pointed ears, large sharp teeth, a wrinkled leathery skin, and a pig pug style nose. She said that it had a mean expression on its face. Yeah, that's terrifying. Now there again, is that a dimensional kind of thing? Is that a supernatural kind of being? I mean, are these all supernatural beings? Maybe they are. Maybe these are things that can just come and go. I don't know. But really freaky in any case. So they can manifest, at least we know they can manifest absolutely physically for, you know, at least periods of time. All right. This one comes from Nevada. It was around 1:30 a.m. in July 2015. I was outside of my backyard working on my chainsaw, getting it ready for a day of cutting wood, and I was in the middle of sharpening my chain when I heard some rustling coming from the other side of the house. And the sound started getting louder, so I stopped what I was doing to focus on what I was hearing. It sounded light but fast. All of a sudden, out of the shadows came this creature that wasn't a dog nor a pig or anything that I've ever seen in my life. This creature came running right up to me about 5 feet in front of me and made almost a perfect 90-degree left-hand turn. When it did, I was able to take a good look at it, and it was hairless and had an elongated nose with large ears and a long tail, and all were hairless. Hate to say it, but after I made the left turn, that I made a turn to the safety of my house. I say it again, I've never seen anything like that. My wife was wondering why I flew through the door freaking out. And I told her about what I saw, so we both grabbed our flashlights after I changed my shorts, just kidding, and we headed outside to try to find some tracks. We did find some and followed them from where I heard it coming towards me, and after that turn that took it towards the back of our property, which is all dirt. We live in the desert, and the tracks cut back towards the way it came from, and in the middle of the dirt, the tracks just stopped. One thing about the tracks I do remember is that they were more hoof-like than paws. I don't know what to make of things like that. Now, we do see several people have seen these hairless, you know, they almost look like those Egyptian cats, those hairless cats, but they're more coyote-like. And people are claiming that these are coyotes with mange, and maybe it's possible that they are, but I believe mange is more spotty, like they have hair and then they don't have hair. You know, like there's patches of missing hair from the mange. But I don't know if a really progressive case of mange would, you know, in essence make an animal bald or not. I don't know. But it is interesting. Huh. So those have been coming up, and a lot of people have been calling those chupacabras. I don't know, there's that one veterinarian lady who has missing chickens and found them all. You know, I mean, her chickens were showing up with puncture marks and drained of blood, and then she saw that weird coyote-looking thing, but it had, like, some weird skin patches on both of its back, you know, by its tail, on the rear thighs. It had these weird, you know, cone-like patches of skin. Almost looked like overdeveloped scent glands or something, I don't know. But it did get hit by a car, and she got it, and she had it taxidermied, and it's mounted now in her home, but she's sure that that's a chupacabra kind of thing. And she's a veterinarian, so you'd think she would know if that was just a case of mange in a coyote. But I don't know. I'm not saying it isn't. I just don't pretend to know enough to make a distinction. But, you know, something odd's going on there. And this creature does sound a lot like that, except for the fact that, you know, it had more hoof-like prints than paws. And that would be quite a bit different. So the next one is coming from Louisiana. I was sitting on my front porch talking to my best friend, and we were lost in conversation, and we both heard someone running through my house. We talked about whether the back door was locked because we were sitting right beside the front door, and there weren't any side doors, and we talked about whether it could have been just the floor shifting that made it sound like someone just ran through the house, and we went inside, and no one was inside the house. Later on, we were back on the front porch talking, and there was this thick black fog shadow thing that we both saw, and it was large, a large weird shaped ball of just jet black color, like a shadow that light could not pass through. And it stayed for a few minutes at the roof part of the porch and then disappeared. And neither of us know if we were simply tired and both imagined it, or if it actually did happen and we both saw it and could not see the roof of the porch or around this shadow. It has never happened again. Now, this to me sounds more spiritual in nature. This sounds like more of a spiritual thing rather than a cryptid. I don't know what kind of spiritual being it is, but there are these reports of these weird shadow things that they don't seem to be bound to a place. They just kind of wander or roam, and they just show up and check things out. And a lot of times they're just in and out and move on. I don't know if there's some form of dark energy or if they just happen to appear as shadows, but maybe they're not dark at all. I don't know. But it sure seems kind of creepy. I don't imagine a loving being of light doing something like that, but what do I know? All right, so that's from out of Louisiana, Black Ball. But I don't think that that's cryptid-related. That, to me, again, sounds like a spiritual kind of manifestation. All right, guys, this is probably a great place for us to take a break, so don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back. Thank you. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Guys, we're back from the break. I'm glad you made it, and we are going to continue here. This one's coming from New Zealand, and this one has to do with a ball of light. It's not an animal, creature, or monster, but a light in New Zealand that we had lived there for 6 years, and I was sleeping on bunk beds with my sister, and at around midnight, I woke up to hear a faint yet distinct whining or wing, it says a wing bin sound. I'm not sure what a wing bin is, but if that's maybe a description of the sound. And it says bin, bin, wing, bin, 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 wing. Somebody's going to make a sound bite of that and make me sound stupid. A combination of the two, but more bin. And I'm like, what? A streetlight? My sister playing Candy Crush in the middle of the night? And I glanced under the bed at my sister. Nothing. Nothing. Now I'm kind of panicking and slowly look around trying to find the source of the noise. I look at the curtains and I see a faint bluish-white purple light illuminating them. The curtains were pure white, and I slowly spread the curtains and see this white elliptical sun. 1 meter across and around 15 meters away from the house and 30 meters up. I don't exactly remember, and I'm like, oh no. And I was reading about lightning balls before, but why is this one so big, and why was it that shape? Why is the thing so bright and the light it casts so dim? I'm not sure what happened next, but I woke up late and asked my friend, Sam, at school, who lived a block away, if he heard anything last night, and he said he heard a wing bin bin too. But I'm not sure if he's telling the truth or was I just seeing things that night. I'm sure what I saw was real, though. That's the only thing I've seen that I cannot explain. Well, you're young. There'll probably be a lot more. There's probably going to be more of those weird explanation and explanation-less things. So, all right, the next one is coming from Wisconsin. And, ooh, has to do with a dog man. Let's see what's going on there. It has to do with a dog man and an airsoft battle in Wisconsin. It says, I'm an outdoorsman. I'm very experienced at hunting, camping, hiking, and general survival. I'm very familiar and used to wildlife, and I was charged by what I believe was a cryptid called the dog man. It charged me and my cousin, and it was not a bear. A bear cannot move how it did. And it was not a normal wolf, as they can't comfortably run on two legs, whereas what charged us seemed natural at it, doing it. This happened around June or July of 2007, I believe. I was around 17 years old and more cocky than, but still somewhat knowledgeable of the outdoors. My family used to own a cabin in northwestern Wisconsin, and I basically grew up there in the summers. I knew the woods well, but at night, it was wise to stay in the cabin, or at least by the bonfire on the beach, but because of bears, wolves, and cougars. And one of the creepiest things was if you were having a bonfire, the tree line was visible from the fire pit and beach. And at night, you always felt like you're being watched from that tree line, but during the day, the woods always seemed normal, not so creepy. That is, until this incident. So this happened somewhere between 1,200 and 1,400 hours. And me and my cousin were laying an air, we're having an airsoft battle. And I was in full woodland camo and he wasn't. And I retreated into the ATV trail into the woods for a tactical advantage. And our battle took us about 200 meters in to about a third of the way up the trail. And we had enough at this point, and we're standing at the edge of the clearing on the trail talking. And he was maybe 10 feet from me when I decided to mess with him. I shushed him and said, "We're being watched." He froze. And then I realized the woods were dead quiet. And I got spooked and started scanning the tree line and the other edge of the clearing from left to right when I saw it. Its teeth gave it away. It was panting and staring at my cousin. I don't expect you to believe me, but what I saw was a wolf as big as a black bear, at least 300 pounds. But it wasn't normal. This wolf was on two legs, crouching next to the tree, with its arm grasping the tree, grasping with a clawed hand. It had reddish-brown fur, and I told my cousin, "We have to go." And the next thing I know, he's sprinting, and I look back at the wolf, who had locked on, and sprinted a few steps on 2 feet. And then I turned and ran when it looked like Wolfie was dropping to all fours. It charged us and sounded right on our tail, barreling through the brush, but for whatever reason, let us go. When we broke out of the tree line and headed for the cabin. What stuck with me the most was the sheer size. Wolfie appeared to be nearly 7 feet tall when upright, and that where it shouldn't have had front paws. It should have had front paws. It appeared to have large, clawed hands. Now, I'm not sure how to explain it away rationally. I've heard wolves will occasionally kind of walk upright, but as far as I know, they can't sprint on two legs, nor do wolves get that big. And black bears more waddle on two legs, and the closest description is silly, a werewolf or a dog man. Yeah, that'll wreck your fun in a hurry to have a 7-foot dog man charging out at you. That might change your mind about your airsoft tactics in a hurry. Oh, here we go. Now this is kind of unusual. I don't really know that these are cryptids. I just think that they're kind of symbolic of a laziness by our biologists to correctly identify fauna in an area. And I'm talking about the big cat sightings. Now, this one is a little more interesting because it's talking about a black panther that apparently was seen in Australia. And as far as I know, there aren't big cats in Australia, are there? I'm not Australian, but Ken, you'll have to weigh in on this. Ken, are there big cats in Australia? I mean, that are recognized to be in Australia, or is this completely an anomaly? I don't know. I don't know enough about Australia to have an opinion, I guess. So it's a short story, though. Not indigenous. Okay. Thanks, Duke. That's what I thought. But so this one is a little different. But I think perhaps, you know, Australia, of course, is a very big continent, and these things may have already been around, but just never stumbled on. Probably the Aboriginals would know if there is any history of them or not, but you know, our Western sciences tend to be pretty arrogant. So it says, "I believe I've seen a black panther cat, and I was around the age of 11 or 12, returning home from a friend's house. The sun had just set, and as I rounded the house to the back entrance, I saw a huge black cat sitting on its haunches at the end of our backyard. I locked eyes with this thing and was struck with terror. I froze for a split second before making the decision to take a chance and bolt to the back porch. Looked back once, I was in the porch and it was gone. The woods and ravines behind my house never bothered me until I saw that thing. Always felt uneasy being in and around them after sunset from that point on, but meh, still an amazing place to grow up near as a kid." That's pretty cool. I mean, that's a good way to look at it. But yeah, I think you definitely got to be careful about those kind of things, because I think, you know, there's reports of big cats coming from all over the place. And Robin Moonshadow has looked into this quite extensively in the recent history And she's collecting reports of big cats all over the East Coast, Texas, everywhere, where they aren't supposed to be anymore. So apparently they didn't get that memo because it appears they're there. So now this one's coming from New York, and it's talking about a giant white dog. I once saw this giant white dog that almost had a lion-type face. It was 3 a.m. driving home from a relative's house up in the boonies of upstate New York, the Olean area, and my husband was driving, and I saw it first and didn't say anything because I figured it was just a large dog, but his movements were very slow and creepy. But after we passed it, he asked me if I saw that and what the hell was it. It was walking really slowly to cross the street, which was odd because, one, it's 3 a.m. and I don't know who would let their ginormous dog out that late in the front yard. And two, it was heading toward the other side of the road, which is just a small area of forests and then a lake. Also, normally when you have your brights on and approach an animal, they would just look up and run away. But this one just looked straight ahead and kept walking just as slowly. Says anywho, it could have been just a really big dog, but it was definitely creepy and seemed abnormal. This is about 4 years ago, and we still bring it up occasionally. Well, there you have it. So this one is coming from Manitoba. This is pretty wild. This one has to do, it looks like some kind of giant from Manitoba. It says barkskin giant swings from the trees in Pegui, First Nation, Manitoba, Canada. So late in the summer of 2015, I was traveling with a friend. We were on our way to another friend's house about 3 hours away from the city. And along the way, there were garage sales. And so we pursued and ended up buying several knickknacks. Anyhow, to get my friend's place, we had to drive through a reservation, and halfway through the reservation, I saw a giant. It was about 6:30 p.m. The sun was still out, and this giant was swinging in the trees. Its skin looked like tree bark, and it was happy. I just stared at it in disbelief for about 5 minutes. I didn't say anything until I was out of the vehicle in my friend's house, and I think I didn't say anything because in the country, I feel exposed and I feel as though everything can see me. A year later, I went to see a medicine woman in the city and asked her about it, and she told me it was a shape-shifting Sasquatch. Well, I guess that's possible. And you could certainly reference some of Duke's work talking about how big Sasquatch gets. There are reports into the, you know, the 12, 13, 14, 15 foot range. Now apparently those are the big alphas that are allegedly out there, and I don't know, apparently most of what people see are the much younger ones, and the real giants stay way deep in the forest. I guess that would make sense for it to be a Sasquatch. I don't know about shape shifting, but maybe. Again, I don't pretend to know all the answers here, but that kind of stuff is just a little difficult for my head to get around. But I'm not saying it's not possible. It's just, it's hard for me to conceptualize. So, all right. Here we got one about fairies. Basically, I think I saw fairies, but I'm not sure. To preface it, I am against going, oh my God, cryptid, because it gives a sense of going, I already done know what I saw, ha ha ha. I don't write these things, so. That being said, I walk on a cane, thanks to illness, but I do enjoy the woods where I grew up. You can tell me about how the woods are scary and bad, but to a German country boy going through the woods in Bavaria, clocking in at over 6 feet with a sturdy cane, there isn't much terrifying going on. Worst I ever saw was a single confused wild boar. It went on the way, noticed me smoking my pipe, grunted, and went away. Keeping my distance from it, I didn't screw with it. Live and let live, probably was as confused to see me as I was to see it. Now, after a few years, I had the wanderlust again. So when I went to my mother's to visit her, who lives kind of near a wood, I went like, let's have a pipe of tobacco if necessary. You seem to have need. You seem to have to clarify it when Americans are present. Sorry. That's funny. And a stroll through the woods. Now, the climate was typical for Bavaria. Nice wind, small clouds, but a bit towards the evening. So after walking for a while with my headphones in, I get this tickle on the back of my neck. Now, I must repeat this here. I'm over 6 feet, built to scale, and I have a cane. I've seen nothing scarier than the master woodsman tapping me on the shoulder, asking me what was wrong with me for smoking in the woods, with his gun suspiciously almost pointed at me. I'm not scared of anything, so I can use that cane, if worse comes to worse, to give anybody quite a thrashing. I pull the headphones and check my senses, and my sight is clear, and I hear this noise, like a very spastic squirrel running full speed into a pile of dead leaves. Strange, but not unheard of. Squirrels usually have this kind of madness about them, and to be honest, it's not hurting anybody, so screw it. Let them run. I treat it like drunk people. As long as they're not hurting anybody, fine by me. I've done silly things in my life. So I grab my cane closer, put my headphones on low, and then put them back in, keeping, you know, an ear out for trouble. I walk on, and the tickling does not go away. And I keep thinking this through, because what the hell? I usually don't react this way. Then it hits me. I've walked for perhaps 10 minutes, and the skittering sound has not disappeared. That must be one dedicated squirrel, I think. Well, maybe it wants some nuts or something, so... Or it's just bored out of its mind or something. Nothing harmful, right? After all, from the skittering noise, it's light. It's making way too much noise to be sneaky, so I get curious. I turn around and track the skittering just like just by seeing where the noise is the strongest and where the motion is, and as anybody knows who has played hide-and-seek in the woods, pretty effective. I suddenly notice the skittering is in front of me, to the right, near where an old logging road goes off from the way, and I'm thinking, I'm going to see a squirrel drunk on bad apples or what? Might be worth a chuckle, so I'd just go, humph. Because if they are actually scared of me, this gives them times to run away. Nothing. Skittering continues, so I put my best swagger on, and as I look around the curve, I see it. In the half of the forest, hanging in midair, about 25 to 30 meters away, is a glowing blue light, a soft glow, I give you that, but still a glow, swaying side to side, and right where the skittering is supposed to be by my ears, right where the skittering is supposed to be, according to my ears. Only I stare at it, and I noticed it's dead quiet, no skittering, no nothing. Just dead quiet. It's hanging there in midair, roughly at knee level, and I'm looking at it, not knowing what to make of it, and it's eerily still. Then the skittering sets in again, and it moves towards me, not swaying side to side, but not floundering about, but straight at me, beeline straight. Now, as I said before, I'm 6 foot plus. I'm by no means a small guy, and I have a good stable cane with me, but... The horror I felt at that thing, I noped out of there. I'm not a squeamish against anything. I know my forest critters, and I know the occasional prank, because gods know I played some in my days, but I noped out of there for roughly half an hour at top speeds until I was near civilization. Now, if I had to describe what really freaked me out, and believe me, I thought long and hard about it, you know, those horror movies where they have the trope, like squelching violins, and, you know, soon something will happen. Mix that with nails on a chalkboard, but remove all sounds and leave just your response to it. Just your response to it. Sorry, it's really small font. It's tough to read. Now, as I said, there's no rational reason to be afraid. Looking back, I doubt whatever it was could have seriously withstood a blow from the cane just based on its size. Now, for all I know, some jerk caught himself a squirrel, drugged it with enough caffeine and meth to make it skitter like crazy, and painted it with bioluminescent paint. No qualms about it. I just didn't see it with my eyes because of the light levels. Ha ha. What really got to me, though, was the feeling of suddenly, without a buildup, having that horror and that flea reaction. I'm not a small man, even for a German and a Bavarian, I am tall. And I have the mass to back it up, but for a simple blue light to scare the hell out of me like that, it makes you think. Never saw the light again, not sure what it was, but damn it, I've since then not stepped foot in that woods. And I prefer walking the open fields and the village-to-village roads before I go back at dusk to this place in the woods. And before you go, could it have been a will-o'-the-wisp? I never heard of the will-o'-the-wisps in non-swampy areas. Huh, very interesting. Could be a will-o'-the-wisp, though. I don't know if they have to be in swampy areas. Maybe they don't have to be. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.